الشيخ عبد القادر صاحب. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا for our second session, inshallah, which is the question and answers. Inshallah, the first question here, is there any importance of DNA in Islam? Testing DNA in Islam? A brother had asked this question, Mufti Sahib.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بارك الله فيكم مع سليم كريم and جزاك الله خيرا to our technician brother Junaid Khan. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader Habibuna Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In Islam, there is no significance, importance attached to DNA and so forth and so on. When there is a dispute regarding the baby, the child and so forth, remember that, then the Islamic law is Al-Waladu Lil-Firash, that the lady is ABC and her husband is XYZ. So that baby will belong to XYZ. If he rejects and say that this baby does not belong to me, then he can give a talaq and finish it up, and then the lineage will go to the mother. But to say we must do this test and DNA and so forth and so on, in Islam, that will not be considered as a proof or evidence. So we need to understand that we always must use the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah Mubarakah, our primary sources. The first primary source is Quran Sharif, and the Sunnah is the second primary source. Some people say the Sunnah is the second secondary source. That's totally incorrect. It is the second primary source in Islam. The hadith is authentic in Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad. Al-waladu lil-firash and walil-ahiri al-hajar. And for the people, remember, who commit adultery, for them is the death penalty.
For a mother-in-law to tell her daughter-in-law how often she must visit her family, although the husband does not object.
Remember that her husband has authority over her more than her own biological parents. The mother-in-law, father-in-law don't have any sovereignty, authority and over jurisdiction over her, the daughter-in-law. The hadith is authentic, mentioned, remember, in Mustadrak Hakim, wherein Mustafa Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna a'zama an-nasi haqqan al-mar'a zawjuha, that the person who has the greatest rights over you, the lady, once you are married, is your husband. And thereafter comes your parents and your family, and then comes the in-laws family and so forth. Wa inna a'zama an-nasi haqqan al-rajul is hu ummuhu, so his mother, the male, who has the greatest rights over him before he's married, after he's married, is his beloved biological mother. Authentic hadith in Mustadrak Hakim. So take this as a case study. The husband doesn't have any issue when she goes and visits her mother, father, whoever. But the mother-in-law wants to poke her big nose in their business. So you don't have to listen to your mother-in-law in those type of issues. Tell her, please stay out with respect. You don't have to shout and scream. And tell her you're married to her son, you're not married to her or her family in that sense, that they can make decisions for you. So remember, we should know Islam is hukuk and hudud. Hukuk, the rights of Almighty Allah, the rights of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the rights of our parents, the right of creation. And hudud, everything must be done within the boundaries, parameters of the sharia. So it's a straightforward issue. In a case like that, the mother has no right to poke her big nose in your business.
Bring the mayyat to the house, or is it better to take it straight to the qabristan after ghusl?
Once a person passes away, and now remember that you have the ghusl, the bathing, and the kafan, the takfin, and so forth, the shrouding, then after that it's best to take it to the graveyard, perform the salatul janazah and the funeral prayer, and thereafter the tadfeen, the burial, and so forth. So Mustafa rahmatulil alameen sallallahu alayhi wasallam's direct commandment, asri'u bil janaza, that regarding the people who pass away, we must make a haste regarding that. Because why? Either he's a good person who passed away, then take him to a better place. And inna al-qabra rawdatun min riyadil jannah aw hufratun min hufurin nar. So either the grave, remember, is one of the gardens of paradise or one of the pits of hell. So inshallah, he's going to paradise. That is the muqaddama introduction, authentic hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad. And if the person was a bad person, munafiq, hypocrite, and so forth, so get rid of him as soon as possible. If you bring it after the ghusl and so forth to the house for a short period, so that also will be permissible. So the family can see him or her and may read some Yasin, Quran Sharif and so forth. But to delay how we are doing nowadays, 8, 10, 12, 15, 18, 20 hours, that definitely is not permissible. Fastabiqul khayrat, remember, in good deeds, we must make haste and so forth. Quickly, story time. Yesterday morning, I went here, not very far from my house, to Haji Abu Bakr Varacha's place, but he was resting, so I said, no, I'll meet him afterwards, inshallah. So then, the whole time I met him here in the Khanka, he and his two sons, so mashallah, they went for Umrah. Well, few years ago, 2017, 2018, so his wife passed away there in Medina Munawwara, and she's buried in Baqi. Now he went with his son, you know, Muhammad and Muhammad's wife and so forth. So then Muhammad passed away there, his son, you know. So there on Wednesday after Asr. And then he gave me the whole story. They told him the South African ulama brothers were there, were very, very helpful. Jazahumullahu khairan. They told him, if you want, you can enter and give the ghusl and so forth. So then he participated in the bathing of his son and so. And then his two sons here, Musa and Ridwan, they left from South Africa Wednesday night. So Thursday they arrived there. Saturday they came back and so forth. So now imagine his wife is buried there, his son is buried there. So one side you feel sad, al-mawtu haqqun, maut is the truth, and al-firaqu murrun, and remember that separation also is something better. But I told him, we are maut qabil rashk, we are envious of such a death. So Allah, you are a mubarak family, Haji Abu Bakr, you see. And this brother Muhammad who passed away, one son, one daughter, Nabila and Masood, both of them hafiz of noble Quran. So subhanallah, all sadaqah jariyah for them. Allah grant our Muhammad, his mother, all our marhumeen, wherever they are buried. And they passed away with Iman and Islam, Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la. Allah grant all the bereaved family sabre jameel. They know the vacuum in their life and so forth. Yesterday, while speaking to me also, so many a time the tears were flowing. But those tears are rahmah, are the mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. That is the beauty of Islam. We should always present Islam to all and sundry. Islam is the best and we must share it with the rest.
Of this other question, on pages of the Quran and Hadith, should it be shredded and sent to the waste department or must it be buried?
Regarding the first suggestion, and that you must shred it and send it to the waste department, that's haram. That is not ta'zeem, showing respect to the Quran Sharif or the Sunnah Mubarakah. That is tawheen. You are showing disrespect. Remember, that's absolutely haram. Quran Kareem teaches us in chapter 22, verse 32, وَمَنْ يُعَذِّمْ شَآءِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Whosoever shows respect, remember, to the symbol signs of Almighty Allah, Azza wa Jalla, so that is the sign that person is taqwa through piety, Allah consciousness in the heart of that person. You have three options. First option is you have all Quran Sharif, all Ahadith books, all Islamic literature. The pages are torn and tattered, so you bury it. So that's the first option. Second option is that you then go and put it in a box and so forth, put some bricks or stones and then you submerge it in the water. Many, many years ago, when I was in Newcastle at the Darulum, you know, I was there from January 81 to 2001, 20 years, you know, wonderful. And inshallah, in November, that the third week, we'll be attending the Jalsa there also, mashallah, in Newcastle Darulum. So we still have that love for our Darulum, you know, Darulum Newcastle, our Qasimul Ulum. That will be first week, December, inshallah. So both places will be there, inshallah. That is in November and in December in Cape Town, inshallah. So when I was in Newcastle, I think it was a holiday or something. So I said, let me see in our house, you know, in Heidelberg, all the torn Quran Sharifs and torn books and Islamic books. So there in Heidelberg, we have a river at the bottom there. That time was the Indian township. So then I took all that books and there with the river, and I put some bricks and stones inside and just submerge it in the water. You see that? So that's totally permissible. If you can't do this, then some ulama have written that as a last resort, you can burn it. Although that is not the best option. Remember, it is acceptable but not desirable. Where the dalil and evidence for that? So remember, open Bukhari Sharif, you will find in the time of Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that there was big argument regarding the people, regarding qiraat, the recitation. For example, just to let it resonate with you, Maliki Yawmiddin, Maliki Yawmiddin. The Hafs qiraat is, you must remember, Maliki Yawmiddin. The Warsh qiraat is Maliki Yawmiddin. So now people start arguing. So he, Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu, called Zaid bin Thabit and said, write down the entire Quran Sharif according to the dialect of the Quraysh. So therefore, if you go to the Arab countries, you will see Al-Quran Al-Kareem or Al-Mus'haf Al-Sharif and Birasmil Uthmani. So it means this Quran Sharif is written according to the dialect of the Quraysh. You see the ones I have in front of me here. That waterfall, and that is not Rasmul Usmani. That is because India, Pakistan, they printed it like that. Now we are used to it. The ones you find in the Haramain Sharifain, Makkah, Mukarramah, Medina, Munawwara, that is Rasmul Usmani. So at that time, then they burnt all the Quran Sharif that were not according to that. So from there, you prove it is permissible but not desirable.
Kitab, what is the sawab to give ghusl to a mayyat?
Almighty Allah Jalla Wala send wahi revelation to him, Mustafa Habibuna Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and remember Quran Sharif enshrines their chapter number 53, Surah An-Najmi, the star, and verses 3 and 4. So man ghassala mayyitan and wa katama. So remember, you give ghusl to the deceased, and sometimes you see some marks or certain things and all that on the body of that person there. I must tell you a very interesting story regarding that Mawla Salim. So remember that, and you conceal it and so forth and all that, then that person will be given their clothing, min sundisin wastabraq. So you'll be given, you must remember that fine silk clothing to wear, and the thick silk garments to wear. There's a wonderful book, you know, how we in India, Pakistan, South Africa, Britain, we promote the book, you must remember, of Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Zakariya, Sheikhul Hadith, Nawar Allah Marqadahu. In the Arab countries, they read the Adu Salihin, the brothers in Jama'ah and that. And there's another book they read, Al-Majjaru Zabih, so that how you can run a spiritual business and great reward with the du'as and ahadith and so forth. In that book, you must remember this hadith is mentioned, Sawabu man ghassala mayyita. You know, Hazrat Allama Muhammad Yusuf bin Nuri, Nawar Allah Marqadahu, opened and started that Madrasa Arabiya Islamiya. So in 1954, you see that? And you came in the early 70s before me, and I came there 74 and so forth and so on. So remember, Hazrat Allama Sheikh Yusuf bin Nuri, Nawar Allah Marqadahu, Alhamdulillah, 74 I was with Hazrat in Umrah, 75 in Hajj and so forth and so on. So cut long story short, in Shawwal, 77, Hazrat passed away. If you saw Hazrat Allama bin Nuri's body, at that time, you will see something. I noticed it straight away. So one very, very reliable person, I don't want to mention the name. So he told me that when Hazrat went there to Islamabad, Hazrat bin Nuri, then the one Qadiani doctor wanted to take revenge because on the 7th of September, Zulfikar Ali Bhutto announced when Hazrat Allama bin Nuri was the Amir of the Khatm-e-Nubuwat and so forth, there to fight against his Qadianis. And he told Bhutto, he smashed his hand Mubarak on the table and told Bhutto, Abku Faisla Karna Yoga, you will have to do that. And he went on TV, radio in 1974, 7th of September, and he announced that the Qadianis are Kuffar and non-Muslims. So this is Shawwal, October 1977. So the doctor saw that Hazrat's tabiat is not well, he's not feeling it. So he gave him some poison and something, you see that. So therefore, you see, they wanted revenge, but Allama Yusuf bin Nuri passed away shaheed. Allah Ta'ala gave him the highest darajat in Jannat al-Firdaus. When he passed away, Qari Tayyab Sahib Rahimahullah said, Jamal bitha, Kamal bitha, or Jalal bitha. And we saw all this, the Jamal, the handsomeness, I never saw a Pakistani Indian alim so handsome like Allama Sheikh Muhammad Yusuf bin Nuri. Jalal, I saw teachers, never mind our students, shaking and so forth, shivering in front of Hazrat. And Kamal, if you sat in his dars and lesson, then you will know. He would just quote the hadith and rijal and all that, you know. I don't think there's any student who could keep up with him and so forth. And Takiyah Kalam was this of Hazrat. So much mayakini. So you understood or not? So these are the yadgar of Hazrat Allama Tilmidhe Rashid of Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahimahullah, who passed away in 1933. And Sheikh Yusuf al-Bin Nuri, when I saw Sheikh Abdul Halim Mahmood come and meet him there in Masjid Nabawi and told him few words, this was our starting, we didn't know Arabic, we didn't know Urdu properly. So then they both cried and cried like children, sobbing and weeping. The Maulana was there from Pakistan. We asked him, kya hua? He said that Allah, the Sheikh Abdul Halim Mahmood, another waliullah, big white beard he had. So he told him that Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed me to come and salute you, O Sheikh Yusuf bin Nuri, for the work you did for Khatm al-Nubuwat. You see that? Allah Sheikh Kashmiri rahimahullah used to say, if you work for Khatm al-Nubuwat, and to defend the namus and the honor of Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa rahmatulil alameen sallallahu alaihi wasallam will definitely intercede for you, inshallah. So these are lessons for all of us. Jee.
Can a husband and wife take a bath together?
There must be a shortage of water. Then you jump in about that. If you're going to get start fuddling with one another, then you'll need another ghusl also. You see that? So remember that this is permissible but not desirable. And today the people, Junaid Motawat, they go jacuzzi and then they sue some zoo business there in the jacuzzi. You see that? You can't take ghusl in the jacuzzi. The jacuzzis I saw, they close that hole there and that, you see, they plug it up. So all the water is just there inside, not flowing out, you see that? So you must remember the water must be flowing out. So it is permissible but not desirable. You must remember that, yeah, this water shortage or something like that. And they told us yesterday, you know, before I sleep, I have to check the Jutla newspaper that is necessary for me, RF, and I have to check the South African news and views and all that. So they say load shedding is back. You see that? So make dua, Allah have mercy on us. Read always chapter 7, verse 151. وَأَدْخِلْنَا فِي رَحْمَتِكَ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Oh, beloved Allah Azza wa Jalla, include us in your special, special mercy. Wow, Hadiya, whilst you alone exclusively, wa anta arhamur rahimin, whilst you exclusively are the only one, arhamur rahimin, the most merciful one to show mercy.
Mufti Sahab, what dua can I read for a headache?
for all types of headaches and sicknesses and illnesses. This is the stock answer, standard answer. Number one, that you must read Surah Fatiha 7 times. In my trip now to the Northwest, I visited one lady, Sharfuddin's sister. He told me, please, you must come there. So I asked him, but why are you insisting? He said, my Amshira, my sister, she is in coma for 9 years. 9 years she's in coma. So I said, I'm zarur aayenge, we'll definitely come. So we went, I read, he was with me, we read Surah Fatiha, and we read, ya salamu, we read, la ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kunnu zalimeen. We both made dua, I made dua, he made ameen. And you, the person who's ill, you're not feeling well, so remember that you should be reading chapter 21, Surah Anbiya. And this is in the 17th Supara, verse 83. The dua of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu salam. He was ill and sick, muddatun madida, for a long, lengthy period, 18, 19 years. And then the dua is enshrined and mentioned in the noble Quran. Chapter 21, verse 83. Anni masaniya durru wa anta arhamur rahimin. When the person is awake, is not, you know, in coma and so forth, and is conscious, to then tell him or her to read. If they don't know this verse, you read it and they read after you. Anni masaniya durru, ya Allah, this calamity, this catastrophe and disaster has befallen me. Wa anta arhamur rahimin. You are, ya Allah, exclusively, whilst you are the most merciful one to show mercy. And in the Marasil of Imam Abu Dawood, he mentioned 800 ahadith, he has mentioned in the Marasil, Dawu mardakum bisadaqah, for the people who are ill and sick in your family, friends and the ummah, so give out charity on their behalf. So daily give out charity. Give out money, give out biscuits, give out fruit, give out vegetable, whatever you can. So provided it's halal and tayyiba, Muslim or non-Muslim, that are poor. So inshallah, Allah Azza wa Jalla will give all of them shifa, shifa kamil, ajil, mustamir, through His grace and mercy.
Sir, two questions. Is there any significance in giving azan in the graveyard after burying the mayat, number one? And number two, is it jais to put any pansura in the qabr when burying the mayat?
First one is, our deen is what I told you in the first session we had, what Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala who said, ittabi'u wa la tabtadi'u. Me and you must follow. Follow who? Follow Almighty Allah Jalla wa la. Chapter number 40 and verse number 7. So see what Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala teaches us there. So wattaba'u sabilaka. You see that? The people who follow your path, O Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala. Then waqihim azab al-jaheem. Then you save them from the punishment and so forth and so on. So that is what the Quran Sharif is teaching. We must follow the path which Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala has chalked out for us. So go read Quran Sharif, chapter 40, Surah Mu'min, verse 7. Second, follow him, Mustafa Rahmatul Alameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, chapter 3, verse 31. In kuntum tuhibbun Allah, if you really love Almighty Allah, fattabi'uni, follow me, Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then yuhbibkumullah, you become the beloved of Almighty Allah Jalla wala, wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum, and Allah Jalla wala will forgive you your sins. Chapter 3, Surah Al-Imran, verse 31. Chapter 9, verse 100, first Almighty Allah Jalla wala, then Habibuna Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Third one, in this sequence, then the Sahaba, and especially those who are the first and foremost, among the Muhajirin and Ansar, the migrants and those helpers of Medina. Chapter 9, verse 100, Surah Tawbah. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ. Allah says you must follow those people who are the first and foremost among Sahaba, the Khulafai Rashideen, the Ashra Mubashara, the Sahabi Badr, and so forth and so on, and those who came afterwards after Fatah Makkah and so forth. Then you will find success and you will get Jannah and so forth. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ, the supreme success. Chapter 9, verse 100. Fourth one, then you follow the Awliyaullah and the Imams and so forth. Chapter 31, Surah Luqman, verse 15. All these verses I cited and quoted, you will find one word there, ittiba. So, وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ, follow the path of those people who have turned towards me. Now the question, can we give adhan there at the graveyard before the burial or after the burial? Not permissible. مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنُهُ فَوَ رَدٌّ, people who bring new things in our deen. So remember, it is mardood, is rejected, authentic hadith in Muslim Sharif. What reason they give? They say, no, the person will be questioned just now, so shaitan mustn't trouble him. It's like saying that when you go toilet, before going toilet, then you go, then the shaitans are there. That is our belief. So you must give adhan then because the shaitan mustn't trouble you. So you can see how foolish that will be. Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us the dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. Ya Allah Azza wa Jalla, I seek your protection from the male and female shaitans and jinn and all these things, the napak ones, the impure ones. So that is our function and duty. Open Mustad Ahmad, Mustad Hakim, Mishkat, you will find all that. Thereafter, remember that now you want to bury a person and you want to put Quran Sharif, pan surah, five surahs. One day I was there, my family members, they were burying. So then I saw that person putting something inside. I asked him, what's that? He said, the Ahad Nama. I said, bring it here, give it to me. So he gave it to me, I took it away. What is all this going to help? You are showing disrespect to the Quran Sharif. You are showing disrespect to the Naam-e-Nami, Ism-e-Grami of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, and the Naam-e-Nami of Mustafa Habibuna Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Not permissible. See, I give you dalil, evidence. There was a person, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, Ra'isul Munafiqeen, the leader of the hypocrites. He caused so much harm to Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so much harm to him, to the Sahaba radiallahu an. Now he passed away, you see. In Medina Munawwara he died, you see. And his son's name is Abdullah. But this Abdullah, the son, is Sahabi, devoted, dedicated Muslim, Ya Rasulullah, that my father made wasiyah, your kurta mubarak, that he will be used as a kafan, the ma and the shroud. The master sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, is, will always be the exclusive rahmatul lil alamin sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Chapter 21, Surah Anbiya, verse 107. Well, in the 17th juz, wa ma arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alamin. We have not sent you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but as a mercy to the entire universe and creation. Okay, take my kurta mubarak. Why? Because he, this Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, the leader of the Munafiqeen, the Isul Munafiqeen, he, when the battle of Badr took place, Abbas, the chacha, the kaka, Papasa Brur, brother, father's brother, Ammun Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told. So his kurta fitted him, Abbas radiallahu anhu. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he did my uncle a favor, take. No, Ya Rasulullah, you must read Salatul Janaza also on him. Sayyidina Umar came, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, atusalli ala hadal munafiq. You're going to read Salat on this hypocrite? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I still got the choice. So the master alayhi salam performed the Janaza Salat. Kurta Mubarak of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Janaza Salat by Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Two verses, chapter 9, verse 84. وَلَا تُسْوَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَاتَ أَبَدًا وَلَا تَقُمْ عَلَىٰ قَبْرِي. In future, Ya Rasulullah, you, your ummah, must never read Salat on this kuffar and munafiqeen and hypocrites. It's totally haram, and all the memorial service, all haram. Regarding Abdullah bin Ubay, and then the ayat was revealed, chapter 4, verse 145. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ, that he is dispatched to the lowest layer of Jahannam. So you put pansura, put this, put that, nothing is going to help if that person does not have iman. So therefore, it's not permissible. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.